Everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Greg Bergman. You would know him most from Mason and Island as the executive producer over there. He also does work with Lakers Raw, and he has his post-game show on after Lakers games that he does. You can follow him on Twitter at Bergman Greg. Greg, how you doing?
Yeah, what's going on, Anthony? How you doing?
You know.
I mean, that's the only way to really put that.
Basically, I mean, you're in the same boat as me. You have to do a show, you know, you do a radio show daily, and then you have to do some kind of a show almost daily about the Lakers if you're doing it after every game. And like, it just feels taxing to follow this team as much as we are, right? It's just tiresome.
It is, and that's partly what's happening. So I'm watching the game. Like, you watch every second of the game, right? So mm-hmm. do I. So I'm watching to do the post game afterwards, and I'm thinking to myself, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about because a lot of it's just off the cuff. I don't write a lot of stuff down, but a lot of it's just, you know, what I see in the game and then what's really happening, and I don't know what to talk about. I can't sit back and talk about G Leaguers, you know, that don't matter next year. Yeah. You really want me to get into guys that you're not going to see that are on one-year contracts that are most likely not getting re-signed? You want me to talk about Lance Stephenson sitting on the bench? It gets tough.
It is tough, and there's only so many times you can point out how nice it is to see people care.
Right.
Like there's only so many times you could say, hey, that guy rotated over to a shooter. The last time Lance did that, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, look, LeBron made a good switch. Congratulations.
Yeah, right.
You're trying on defense when you're six games below 500.
But you did, however, make a point. And to me, this is generally how I know I made a point that's worth making, is either people are really, really angry at you or people really agree with you virulently. And so, you know, and that's basically either people want me fired from Locked On Lakers and from Silver Screen and Roll and from the Earth, really, or people enjoy the content that I provide. But I'll let you frame the point of view that you were offering up on Twitter the other day, and then for the remainder of the show, everybody, so you guys know what you're listening to today, it's going to be various versions of this conversation, and we're allowing this to kind of springboard us or spring us into a larger conversation about the Lakers and their partnership with LeBron James. So why don't you go ahead, Greg, and make the point that you made the other night on Twitter.
So I'm going to read it basically as I wrote it, because I think that's the best way to do it.
Yep.
Basically, what my point was, I don't want to give eventually in December, 35-year-old LeBron James his own coach. I want to build around the younger guys. And I'm not saying you're going to trade LeBron, because that's not happening. That's silly. It's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to give him whatever he wants. And that's essentially it, is that I want to build instead of giving LeBron everything.
So back before the Lakers set off on this plan to eventually land LeBron and then another free agent or whatever their plan happened to be back then, Harrison and I were still doing this show. And I made the point, it wasn't necessarily that I said the Lakers shouldn't get LeBron. It was basically, you guys have to also realize what that comes with, right? We have to understand that he's going to want to be the de facto GM. He's going to want to pick the coach that he plays for. And one thing that we learned as a result of that is some of his decisions aren't always perfect, right? Like, J.R. Smith is currently in exile in Cleveland after getting a huge contract as a result of LeBron thinking that he is somebody that the Cavs should commit to long term. Same goes for Tristan Thompson. Though yep. he isn't in exile, I would imagine they're happy that they would be a lot happier if they didn't have his contract on their books. And so, you know, you combine that with the way things have kind of gone here. Luke Walton has been undercut for most, if not all, of this season. They had that debacle of a trade deadline. And I kind of understand where you're coming from. That said, again, this shouldn't be new territory. Do you think the Lakers are sitting here today and thinking to themselves, wow, we didn't think it would be like this?
I think there's a little bit of that, but I'm also not sure if that's what the front office is thinking, because let's be honest, and I think you agree, I don't know how much the front office understands what the public thinks and what is actually happening around them. But yeah, I mean, it's different because LeBron, when we talk about LeBron, when he was with Cleveland or Miami or Cleveland before that, you know, he was younger. Yeah. He was even when we signed him, he was 33 years old into his 34-year-old season, just like he's about to be in his 35. He was building something when he was still in that prime time. He had never really been injured. He sits out games when he wanted to, but he wasn't really injured ever. He never had a bad injury. Mm-hmm. Now this year, he missed 18 of 19 games. He's going to be 35 after the worst injury of his career. And whether or not that would have happened, however age he was, because of how his foot slipped, whatever, it still is a different time. He's older now. And building around a guy that's 35 is tougher to do than a guy that's 32, 33 years old. Now, what you're talking about when it comes to, you know, did they not know what they were getting themselves into? Of course they did. And we all did. And I fell right for it. And thinking, yes, if LeBron James wants to come be a Laker, I'm all in. I want this to happen. It makes total sense. He's the best player in the world until he showed that, you know what, maybe age is starting to catch up to him a little bit. Maybe not playing defense in the East until midway through the season gets you by, but not in the West and not after an injury. So I want to see somebody, the front office, kind of have the ability to pivot slightly and say, look, LeBron, you're a part of this team. Let's build together and really and build it around the younger guys, with you being as the focal point until you leave.
I think that's a really important point to make here. And that's what initially what we thought it was going to be. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the ideal way that the way that we thought it was going to go, the ideal way we think it should go. And we'll get to that here in a second. All right, so when after LeBron committed to the Lakers and at Media Day and in the months heading up into the season, you know, in Vegas, he made an appearance while the Lakers were playing a summer league game. The idea was, because it was Magic Johnson he was signing up to play with, it was a partnership, right? Magic Johnson is the closest thing that any NBA team has in their front office to a peer of LeBron James. And if it was going to work out that way, I thought that was the best way, really the only way, that this is going to work out, because of the egos you have involved here. You have Magic Johnson, who, I mean, if you just listen to him talk, you know he thinks pretty highly of himself, and for the right reasons.
As he should.
Yeah. LeBron, same thing. And even Pelinka, to a certain extent, along those same lines, though not nearly to the same extent as Magic and LeBron. And as soon as it didn't feel like, as soon as you felt that relationship leaning one way or the other, I thought, okay, yeah, things are really going to get derailed here. And what we've seen in the last few weeks here is some biting comments back and forth about Pelinka, about Luke Walton, about the way that the Lakers are run, about Magic not being around all the time. I don't think it's a coincidence, but Greg, how did you think the relationship should have worked out when it first came to fruition, and what's the best version of LeBron working with the Lakers?
I mean, I think the best version of LeBron working the Lakers is, you know, being a part of the team. We've seen what he can build other places and the issues that were there. I think that the best part of this team could have been just you have to talk to LeBron James. He's the best player in the world. When he comes in here, he was the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. He is that or not anymore is up for debate, but he was. So you absolutely, just like when Kobe was here, you ask Kobe questions. You say, hey, how do you feel about this guy? Hey, how do you feel about this guy? I think he should have some of that right as being part of of the process. But at this point, after we've seen what he's done and what the front office has done around him, which he's obviously signed off on. He signed off on Michael Beasley. He signed off on Rajon Rondo. He signed off on Lance Stephenson and all these other guys that have been picked up. And none of them worked. And this was apparently months and months is what that he said. I just wish that he would have been said, okay, this get me a shooter, get me more shooters, get me some bigs, and we'll go from there. Not like these guys that are terrible shooters. Stevenson's not a good shooter. Nobody that brought in was the right choice. So I just would have liked to have seen him be not as involved and just kind of let them do their job.
My thing is, I don't know, even if you let them do their job, I don't know what to point to that makes me think that they're good at said job.
True. Well, that's a great point because we haven't seen it. So right. What's the move, and you can answer this too, what's the move that they've made since they signed LeBron James that was the right move?
I mean, you could say Reggie Bullock, though he's kind of fallen off of a cliff lately, but everybody has. I think the problem is that like that's the one example that you can make of a quote-unquote right move, but right. It came at a time that so much damage had been done that, you know, it's like detailing a totaled car. Like, look, we got hubcap, or we got 20-inch rims on this 2001 Saturn SL, right?
Right, like spinners.
Yeah, right. Look how great it looks. but I think what it comes down to, and this is something that Pete and I have talked about a lot, and yesterday's show, I kind of made this point of for a long time, the Lakers were they marketed themselves as the gold standard, right? A franchise that was made by King Midas himself. It was just solid gold through and through. And then Dr. Jerry Buss passes, and then you had the Dwight Howard and Steve Nash season that really eroded a lot of the faith in the Lakers and the way that they were running. They went through the rebuild, which I think further kind of had some rot set in there. Jim Buss is let go, and the guys that they brought in here were now brought in more for comfort than for actual ability on the part of Jeannie Buss. And what you have now is you went from what used to be a solid gold brick of an organization to a gold-plated organization. It looks... They do things that look right? Here's Magic, and look how cool it is that he's in charge of the Lakers. Here's Rob Pelinka, and he stood next to Kobe for 20 years. Here's LeBron James, and look, he was at one point the best player in the NBA, and for some stretches, he might still be. But when you really look at the makings of a solid organization, it's not there. It's not things that you can necessarily point at. So I guess my concern here, and I think you share it here by voicing it with LeBron, is there are so many shortcuts taken along the way that it kind of left the Lakers from what they were once upon a time. They aren't the organization that we at one point recognized and felt like we could trust almost unquestionably.
Yeah, I mean there's so much to unpack there. You're absolutely right, and I'm with you. Like Jeannie Buss has done a fantastic job on the business side, and she said here, Robin Magic, you're going to take the basketball side, and you're going to make this great. And what you did was you gave a guy Rob Pelinka a job that he really had nothing to. He had no right to have, except for the fact that he was Kobe Bryant's agent, and it's Magic Johnson because he is Magic Johnson, and he's a great businessman, and he can get in front of a room and be charismatic and get anybody to come is what we were sold on. So Kevin Arnovitz had a great article about this, about how, you know, they have to go away from remembering that they're the Lakers with 16 championships and start just building their team and acting like they're the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that's when they'll eventually get back to that. So when you give the keys to guys that don't have any experience whatsoever and are basically, from what everything I understand, not liked throughout the league or by the players. Rob Pelinka apparently is not liked by players, not by other GMs, not by agents. I mean, that's a big issue. But thinking about this, and I would love to get your take on this. I was talking to Bill Reiter, who is he's a friend of mine from LA, and he's in New York right now with CBS Sports. And he brought up, look, if you get rid, if let's say we just get rid of Robin Magic, and we just, it's, so you say, let's just go goodbye. You're both gone. You're now getting rid of Magic Johnson and essentially Kobe Bryant, because Kobe Bryant was Rob Pelinka was Kobe Bryant's agent, along after you had just gotten rid of Jerry West. So your history of Lakers has been getting rid of Jerry West, Magic Johnson, and Kobe Bryant. Is that the right move to do? How does that look?
I guess my thing is, did you watch the newest Star Wars movie?
Oh, yes.
Who they said basically, like, you have to kill the past.
Yeah.
In order to move forward. I mean, wouldn't hate it.
Past in that movie.
What's that?
They destroyed the past in that movie.
they really did, right? Maybe not to the extent that Star Wars did, but like, I think if you're always so focused on your past, I think they have to find a better balance. I think what they have to figure out a way to do is, you can stay true in some ways to your past, but if you're allowing that past decide the way you're going to move into the future, when a lot of those things, the successes that you shared with that past, were in a completely different era, a wholly different competitive league, the NBA right now is run by different people than it was back when the Lakers were as successful as they were. And you know, I can understand. Like, if you, let's say you really, really, let's say Jeannie really wants to hire Magic Johnson. All right, fine. If that's what you really want to do here, and you hand him the keys, and even if he doesn't want to be around all the time, you tell him you can be an absentee executive, and when you check in, you find out from whoever you leave in charge how the organization is running. But you have to, like, to then double down on that and hire Pelinka because he was close to Kobe. And like, I don't think it's a wise decision to think of Pelinka only as an extension of Kobe, because that's when, like, now you're allowing somebody to skate by on the reputation of somebody who isn't even him, right? Like, Pelinka didn't score 81 against the Raptors. Pelinka didn't win those five titles. He was just there.
No, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, getting rid of the past in some sense is okay. Just letting that kind of, letting Magic Johnson be an absentee president, totally fine with that. But that's not what he's billed as.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. And when you bring in a guy that's a former agent in Rob Pelinka, who is not a very liked former agent, to say the least. I mean, people start saying things like, oh, well, you know, Bob Myers was a former agent. Well, Bob Myers also didn't build that team. It was already built before. I mean, they already drafted Clay. They'd already drafted Steph. They'd already drafted Draymond. So that was, the core was already there. He's just keeping it in and bringing in certain guys. Doing a great job, don't get me wrong, but it's a totally different situation than building basically a team from the ground up. And starting to say, like, oh, yeah, let's trade everybody or whatever. However, it was the wrong call.
Well, and yeah, right. Like, when Bob Myers showed up, he didn't try to reinvent the wheel.
No.
Like, he didn't show up with all the hubris in the world to say, okay, so you guys have worked your tails off over the last few years to put together this young core that might be sustainable, might be able to fit around LeBron. By the way, like, D'Angelo Russell fitting around LeBron, like, he's a perfect guard to play next to LeBron. He's a bigger guard who can switch. He has shown that he's able a little bit to be able to defend more this year. He can shoot, which is a nice addition. And yet we never got to see how he looked alongside Lonzo, alongside really anybody. It was, those guys showed up and there he goes. And then apparently shortly thereafter, they made the decision on Julius Randle that, you know what? He's probably going to go too. And they never really gave that much of a shot. And then, you know, it's all kind of spiraled downward from there. We're going to take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to make a bit of a counterpoint to Greg, your point about LeBron and handing him the keys and the concerns there. And we'll see how this goes. So my one counter to giving LeBron the keys, and it, this is why we focus so much on Magic and Pelinka so far, is LeBron, of everybody associated with the Lakers right now, LeBron has actually had basketball success in the last, what, 8-9 years, right?
Yeah, 8 straight finals.
The Lakers won a title a few years back, but Matt Genie wasn't involved at all in that basketball operations team, right? The Lakers have been slowly but surely getting a little bit better, but that was with the core players that Jim and Mitch and the scouting department that they had put in place had found. Yes, securing LeBron James was a huge win. Though, you know, I think we oversold, as we've been talking about all day, the idea of the partnership that we thought that we were going to be watching for the entirety of his tenure as a Laker. And so it'd be one thing if LeBron showed up and wrestled away power from Jerry West, or from, you know, wrestled away coaching responsibilities from Phil Jackson, right? But like, who's LeBron taking this power from that we feel so desperate for him to have?
Well, I mean, he doesn't do things by wrestling away things.
Yeah,
he's a
very
passive aggressive guy.
That's
he's,
right.
He's never going to walk up to you and be like, "I'm taking your job," or "I'm doing this. Do this for me. Go get me this guy." He's going to do it all in side channels, and he's going to do it through Clutch, and he's going to do it in different tweets and different ways. Everything he does is calculated. So while he's not doing it in your face, he's actually making decisions without making decisions that you can see. He's very, very careful about that, and you really have to give it up to him for the way that he does that. All of this is his fingerprints.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, this isn't Robin Magic basically going out and getting what they want. This is getting what LeBron wants. And my point isn't so much about what it is right now. It's about what it is going forward.
Yeah.
So if he's 30, he's about to be 35 after his biggest injury of his career. Is this a guy that we feel like is going to lead to sustainable success moving forward by listening to what he wants, by getting the coach that he wants, to getting just the shooters around him that he wants, that may are on 1-year deals because that's how these teams are built now? And if you do trade away, let's say, Ingram, Kuzma, whether he can or not because of his, you know, the blood clot in his arm, whatever it is, if you trade away 2, 3, 4 of the young guys, are you sustainable moving forward to help out LeBron for 1 year, 2 years?
It depends on who you trade for, right? Like, if you trade for a 26-year-old Anthony Davis, I think you're fairly sustainable. But if you trade those guys for, I don't know, Bradley Beal, you know, then I'd be a lot more concerned about the direction of the franchise. I think the thing here is the Lakers have to find a way in the next month or so as they get ready for the latest, most important offseason in franchise history, right? Like, the Lakers have to find a way here to get back to the partnership that we thought was going to exist between LeBron and Magic. And, you know, if they aren't willing to be on the same level, if they aren't able to see eye to eye in these things, and they start allowing ego to start getting in the way, well, then they're going to be infighting while the rest of the league continues to lap them, right? And I would agree that, you know, building around LeBron, though I don't know what other options there really are at this point. They've kind of backed themselves into a hole, yes, given the way that they've handled things. But, you know, building around LeBron right now might also just be the only way forward. What other means do you think they have to build here?
I mean, they have enough room for one max cap, one max guy, right? That's from what I understand. So I think Pete actually made a great point about this on the tweet that started this whole conversation, was that, you know, what's the difference? What's going to change if you have But if you go get Anthony Davis, what's going to change? The difference is so much here. I'm going to get exactly what he said because I want to make sure that I say it correctly.
It's basically he wants to add without subtracting.
Right, and that's the idea is I just want to add to this team and not subtract, and that way we can build. He basically said, is that really any different than what we'd be doing if we were building around the young guys? He's right. It's absolutely right in that. If you go get this one, Anthony Davis is coming back to the exact same situation that he was in. You still need the young guys to, and you have that one max spot. Whether it is go get that max guy or it's go get other guys to go around that. Maybe it is, you know, you can trade for Beal, or you can trade, or you can sign somebody like a Tobias Harris to fit along with everybody else, or whoever it is. I don't know the exact guy, but you can get smaller deals with that money. It doesn't have to be that one max guy because you're building around what you expect Brandon Ingram to be, what you expect Lonzo to be, and Kuzma when they all are playing well together, because they were playing well together when they were actually
in those 23 games that they shared.
Right, yeah, because they were injured for most of it, which is fair. Is that? But we don't know. A lot of guys get injured early on in their career, and it all changes. You're going from a college game or from a college game. You don't need to be as strong where you need to get bigger and stronger, and everybody else is bigger and stronger. It takes time to build the body for an NBA body.
Yeah, I think for me, all I care about is show me that you like start actually building a team. Don't like we're done. This planning stage ended when you got LeBron. You know, as soon as you got LeBron, it's why Luke Walton was on the hot seat right away. It's why, quite frankly, Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson are kind of sort of on a hot seat too. Here is as soon as you get and same goes for the kids. As soon as LeBron walks through that door, you now have 3 or 4 years to win a title. And anything, any extracurriculars that don't help you to that end, they're going to go. And you know, for one thing that, you know, the Lakers have to find a way to be able to move forward with is, all right, this is what we know we have. These are the birds that we have in the hand. Yes, there might be a few more in the bush, but these are the assets we actually have. We have LeBron James, who is not the best player in the world anymore, but he's still, you know, he's at least top five, top 10, right?
Yeah, he's still 28, 8-7 every single night.
He's still pretty good. So you know you have that. And then you have Lonzo Ball, who in theory, you know, especially if he has a full summer to focus on his shot, to focus on aspects of his game that help him play with LeBron. You now have a really good defensive point guard who should still continue to improve offensively. You have a guy in Brandon Ingram who, especially right before he got hurt, was he averaging like 22-6-4 or something like that. That's you don't just find those numbers anywhere. So you have those three things, and then you know Kyle Kuzma is a piece on the margins who needs to shoot better, but if he does, all right, that's another piece. Josh Hart, same kind of standing as Kyle Kuzma. Those are your five things. Those are your five assets that you have moving forward. You try to add to those five things as best you can without taking anything away, and then from there, if it even despite you adding an all-star in that cap space, that still isn't quite working out, then okay, then you start looking into addition by subtraction. But what the Lakers can't do here is continue to try to take shortcuts. And that's been kind of the theme this week here is the Lakers can't continue to just paint this lead brick gold. At some point, they have to start actually building sustainably inside out so that even after LeBron is gone, they still have something to move forward with. If you chip away, like it used to be, if, you know, Magic, they took a huge hit with Magic contracting HIV. And not very many organizations can bounce back from that ever, let alone within the next, probably within the next decade, the Lakers were already back into title contention, right? Yeah,
90s, they came back and won in 2000, 2001. Right.
Yeah. So a decade after taking a hit that of that magnitude, that's a huge chip out of the franchise. And yet, because that franchise back then was actually solid gold, they were able to to sustain that hit and move forward as such. What we found in this latest iteration of the Lakers franchise is that you take a hit, you take a chip out of that gold plating, and it shows a little bit of that bronze underneath, as we saw after the Dwight Howard and Steve Nash seasons. And I think what the Lakers have to focus on here, and I think the, if I don't want to speak for you here, but a chunk of your point here is you can't, LeBron represents a bit of a shortcut, and handing him the keys might be the easy thing to do here, but you still have to build a team, build a culture, build an organization, so that after he's gone, after you take that hit and LeBron either retires or leaves in free agency, whatever it might be, you can still have something to build with moving forward.
Yes, that's a much nicer way of putting it than I did. So yes, that's exactly.
I have way more than 240 characters.
Exactly, that's a very true statement too. But yes, that's exactly what it is. It's more. I mean, by building around LeBron, building the pieces around LeBron and not around actual LeBron himself, you are doing just that. You're building for the future and when he is going to be gone. I understand that these pieces, the Ingrams, Lonzos, Kuzmas, Harts, those are all around LeBron technically. But when you allow him to get his own coach or say go ahead and trade, yes, you're right. It is you're trying to go the easy way out, and that's not the way that this works. That's not the way sports work in general. The Golden State Warriors got good by building. The Spurs always built from the draft and built up and became sustainable with a good head coach, of course. I mean, if you can go to another sport and you say the Dodgers built from within, the Astros, every team, any team that you can kind of think of, even the Kings in hockey, all built from within, from their own system. Yep. And that's what you kind of have to do nowadays. It doesn't work. These quick fixes, the only time people can think of a quick fix is when you talk about the Boston Celtics in 2009, or was that 2008, whichever it was.
Yeah.
They had Rondo and they had Pierce, and they brought in Garnett and Ray Allen. But they were all in their 30s, like their low 30s.
They had 3 years, and then they had to rebuild from scratch again.
Right. Absolutely. And then they had to, exactly. And they started all over, and they were terrible. So, and a lot of people get upset with me, and what this tweet all was that started this whole thing was about was, but people say, you have to win now, you have to win now, you have to win now. I want sustained success. You're not getting anywhere right now. And right now we're in a situation where this summer, unless you get somebody gigantic in Anthony Davis, which is probably not going to happen, you are now you're screwed for the rest of the year for a long time. And you're starting all over, 1 year guys, and starting again from scratch. And it doesn't work.
Yep. All right. Well, this was fun, man. Thanks for hopping on, especially on short notice the way that you did. I hope it wasn't so terrible that you won't come back on a future date.
Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, that'll do it. That was Greg Bergman. You can follow him on Twitter at Bergman Greg. You can find him on the radio, obviously, with Mason and Ireland as their executive producer. And then check out his post-game show with Lakers Raw after every Lakers game. It's good stuff. So thanks very much, Greg, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you later, Anthony.